You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins, and with me on his second consecutive show is...
Hey there, it's Martin Bruda.
Yes, that's two shows in a row. Now, unfortunately, Martin, his personality is so big that it kicked Chris out of the room.
Yeah, we've lost our Ed McMahon, so if we need a little, I'm going to pitch in.
Yeah. And Sam isn't here either. Now, I don't know if we should talk about why Chris and or Sam aren't here. Now, do you know what Sam's actually doing? He's not at a Gem in the Holograms movie.
Not at a Gem in the Holograms movie. No, he's...
He's already seen it.
He's already pining for the sequel that we know is not going to come. And, I don't know where he is. I think he's in Toronto.
All right, Toronto. Yeah. I heard he was in Toronto, but I thought that maybe you would... have a bit of a better idea what he might be up to in Toronto.
It's not comics related, so I have no clue.
No, okay. So it doesn't matter to this show other than he's not here.
That is correct.
And Chris isn't here because his dinner was late.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the Facebook message that we got.
Dinner is late.
So I guess he's enjoying his dinner now. And it was an important dinner, and Chris, I'm not making fun of you. I'm really not.
I am.
Okay, Marty is, but I'm not. So that's why we are just two of the four here, and it was on short notice, too, because Chris didn't know until his dinner was late that he wasn't going to make it.
Yeah, I think it was just an excuse.
Yeah. And
he's busy pressing his comics.
Pressing his comics, or impressing people with his comics.
Oh, you never know.
Or neither. He's probably at home, not listening, and just relaxing. So, that's that. hey, Marty, I was telling you the other day that I was going to make up some new credits because you have actually gotten one full show under your belt already prior to this. And so I thought, hey, you know, Marty deserves to be in our credits. And so I spent hours meticulously combing through all of our like show stuff, going through looking for new clips from me and Chris and Sam, and getting a few clips from the show that you did a couple weeks ago. Came up with this like beautiful thing. It was perfectly placed clips, perfectly balanced music. It was just absolutely perfect.
So no more cricket sounds.
Well, I thought I might leave the crickets in, but if you want to know a secret, I'll tell you a secret just between you and me. The crickets was actually a joke about Sam's comment about The Dark Knight Returns, because I put that in there because he says The Dark Knight Returns is the biggest pile of dung that I've ever seen. And then I put the crickets in there because I actually disagree with them.
Ah, there you go.
So, and then it just worked because I told you I was going to play crickets because you were never here. So it actually worked out pretty awesomely. But yeah, I might still put the crickets in.
But we didn't get those credits today. Why didn't we get those credits today?
Let me
pull my IT technical support hat out. Dan, did you forget to save?
Well, I'm actually having some issues with saving within the program that I use for the mixing of stuff. So I just keep it up, on the fly and never like shut my computer down, but then it did like an automatic reboot thing when I wasn't paying attention for 2 minutes, and I lost everything. It's all gone.
No backups? Where's your backups?
Not of this. I have backups of everything that's finished, but not backups of something that I don't even know how to save. How could I have a backup if I don't know how to save it?
I can't help you there, man.
No.
I don't know anything about computers.
Yeah, Marty definitely doesn't know anything about computers. He's not that kind of nerd.
Yeah, big time.
So, next week, hopefully I'll find some time and we'll have some super awesome new credits. They were actually like, because our credits right now are like 30 to 40 seconds, and the ones that I had prepared were like twice that. They were like, you know, okay, not twice that, but they were a little longer.
So that means we'll have enough time to like eject CDs and run around and plug in headphones and stuff.
Yeah, because it's always a bit of a scramble, a mad scramble. Live talk radio is a mad scramble, I find.
There you go.
So, all right. So that's the credit news. So make sure you tune in next week for those awesome credits if I'm A, not too lazy to put them together again, and B, remember to make sure my computer doesn't shut down on me.
Now, we should also mention that previous episodes are now on a website, so if you want to download some the original shows, we got 1 through 6, six being our Halloween,
we'll have to talk about that too.
Our Halloween best of episode, but it's at heykidscomics.ca. So
now was .com taken?
.com was taken, and I am a bit patriotic, so you know I always go for the .ca because honestly, with Google search, who types in the last little bit of an address anymore? You want to go to Coca-Cola, you just type in Coca-Cola or Coke. You're not really typing in
Coca-Cola.com. Don't advertise during the show, though.
Oh, okay.
Like genericcola.com.
All right, genericcola.com.
Yes.
But, you know, just as an example. But, yeah, I mean, it's heykidscomics.ca, so you can download some episodes.
Yeah, and, so in case you missed out on one of our previous episodes and you just are like, man, I can't believe I missed that episode. I absolutely have to hear whatever those weirdos were ranting about last week, heykidscomics.ca.
There you go.
And
let's talk about comic books and advertise for Marvel and DC instead of Coke.
Yeah, instead of that. Well, let's talk about our Halloween show first, because it was a best of show. The reason we had a best of show is because I personally was out trick-or-treating. I don't know. What were you up to on Halloween?
Yeah, well, we weren't trick-or-treating. I'm a little old for that, Dan. I guess you dressed up, but...
I actually did, but I'll get into that in a minute.
Oh, there you go. But we just had some kids come to the house and stuff. And like you said, you know, Halloween, so everybody took a little family break time.
Yeah.
And doled out some candy. And there is, of course, way more candy left at the house than we'd handed out. So lots to get sticky in the pages of the comics.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. But, yeah, so I've got a couple of young children, and so Halloween is still very much an amazing holiday for our kids, and they were super excited, and so we all dressed up. We're one of those really cute families that everybody makes fun of, where we dressed up in, like, a themed costume all together.
No, there you go.
Yeah, and so... So
what was the theme this year?
The theme was Scooby-Doo, which is comic book related because, of course, there's Scooby-Doo comics.
There is indeed. I read one this week.
Was it at Scooby-Doo Adventures number 12?
No, it was number 13, the one with Dead Man and Phantom Stranger.
Yeah. So anyways, we can get to that in a little bit. But so we dressed up. My daughter's obsessed with Scooby-Doo, so we bought her a Scooby-Doo costume. And my wife found some used clothes at local stores and put together a costume. So she went as Velma, and I went as, you know, Shaggy, because I'm not cool enough to be Fred. I'm the Shaggy of the household. So is that a surprise?
No, not at all, actually. No.
And but my son, he didn't want to go as a Scooby-Doo character. So we convinced him to go as a monster. And so he actually went as a monster, or sorry, he went as a crooked real estate developer dressed as a monster who was trying to scare the locals away.
Oh, there you go.
And so we were, you know, the Mystery Inc. gang trying to stop him from scaring the locals away.
Was there ever a Scooby-Doo character, a heavier set, bearded, glassed computer guy who reads a lot of comic books? Was there ever a character
you're
that?
Probably thinking of the comic book store guy from The Simpsons.
Yeah, then I'm not sure. I'm not sure I could find a Scooby-Doo costume that would be
now. You might be a victim.
Appropriate.
There's probably been a victim like that in one of the comic books.
Well, you darn kids!
But the worst part, though, with our costumes is that nobody got it. Like, three people were like, oh, look, it's Scooby-Doo. And one guy was like, oh, it's the Big Bad Wolf. And we're like, it's Scooby-Doo. It says Scooby-Doo right on, like, the collar of the costume. And nobody realized that I was Shaggy and that my wife was Velma.
Well, it's been a little while since those cartoons were on TV, right?
Yeah, but people still... Scooby-Doo is, like, part of the culture of television.
Well, some people don't watch TV. They spend too much time reading comic books.
And we're not those people.
No, we're not.
So that's why we had no show last week, and I hope that people were able to enjoy the amazing best of, because I know you definitely weren't thinking, hey, I just heard that last week.
Well, Sam and I listened to the best of show on the way down.
Yeah.
Our Wednesday pilgrimages to the various local comic shops around town and along the 401 there, looking for treats and goodies for ourselves. And so we listened to the show. And yeah, I guess I had missed the show that you did with Nigel, the second episode.
Yes.
So listening to some
Wait,
of that was
so
good.
You didn't go to heykidscomics.ca and check out our second show?
Why, no, Dan, I did not. What was that website again?
I'm not going to say it.
Heykidscomics.ca.
That's
it's okay, because it's not for profit. There's no money involved. There's no advertising on the site. There's no nothing. So it's just, you know,
there's
share
not
the
even
love.
Content.
Wow. There's some goofy pictures.
Some goofy pictures. So, yes, you were saying you had listened to the show.
Yeah, just listened to the show. And I guess the first couple of episodes were a little bit Batman-centric. So you've got a different theme for today, I understand.
The clips that I picked were Batman-centric, but... You know, I had a great plan. I was going to come in here, play the opening credits, and I was going to be like, hello and welcome to the Deadpool Show. All Deadpool, all hour. I'm your host, New Mutants 98, and with me is X-Force number 2.
There you go. Yeah, but it's...
Didn't work out. You made me forget.
As you may have heard, I have softened my stance ever so slightly on New Mutants 98 and actually purchased a copy.
Now, why did you purchase a copy? Because if I recall correctly, just 2 weeks ago, you were ranting quite strongly against this comic book.
Well, you know, it's like this. It's as we said last show, it's the first appearance of Deadpool. It's a comic book that was published in the 90s, so it has a very large print run. I think we looked it up, and it was close to... 150,000 copies were printed. 200,000 were printed.
I feel like we may have never actually found a full answer on that one. Does that sound right?
If you fire up the old nondescript search engine that does not start with a G and doesn't rhyme with Oogle, we should be able to find the website where they really smashed the living daylights out of New Mutants 98. But basically, you got the movies coming out, and... I've watched the Kevin Smith show there, The Comic Book Men, and the comment was made that, Kevin Smith's mother very shortly will know who Deadpool is once that movie hits. So it is possible that the book will retain a little bit of heat still. You know, I still, to this day, do not think that this book is worth $900.
And a 9.8.
Well, not even in a 9.8. We were, again, during our little safaris there to the various comic shops, we found... one shop that had three raw copies. One was roughly $300, one was $700, and one was $900 raw.
I feel like that's ridiculous.
It's a little bit steep. I don't know if that's necessarily, you know, accurate, but just like I had that Gwenpool variant cover up there on the book face for sale for a little bit and put in an overinflated price. And the idea was if somebody wants to pay that, they're more than welcome to. And if they don't, fine, it goes into my collection. No harm, no foul. It's not like I had now, 5 copies of it that I need to turn over.
Did somebody actually pay that ridiculously inflated price for it? I mean, that really well thought out, careful, and close to market value price?
No, nobody did.
Okay.
Not yet.
Well, isn't it marked as sold?
It is marked as sold because I picked it up and I put it in my own collection.
Okay, so you just decided...
I'm just going to hold on to it for a bit and
see what actually happens.
Much like the other Gwenpool comic that I tried to sell everybody for $5 a piece and nobody would bite. And then I ended up selling them for 20, 35, and 60 respectively for the three copies.
Now, I'm the 20, so I was...
You're the 20 because I promised you I'd get it for you for the price.
I was the winner in that one, if there is a winner in overpaying for comic books.
There you go. So, yeah, I found a copy of New Mutants 98 online, and the condition was really, really good, and I paid a few $100 for it. Nothing too crazy, but we'll see how it goes. I mean, if
he
the
says nothing, a few hundred, nothing too crazy.
Well, not $900.
Most people think a few hundred is really crazy.
Well, the thing is that if the show, you know, if the movie takes off with
as Kevin Smith Ryle thinks
Reynolds,
it will,
as some people do, and you know. The trailers have all been well received. It's possible that comic books jack up in price a little bit, and I'll make double my money or whatever. But I just don't think it's a $900 comic book.
No, and I mean, as we're talking about inflated prices and stuff, you know, I've seen some auctions on eBay with New Mutants 98 around the $200 to $300 mark, and went, oh, it would be cool to own that comic, but I'm the kind of guy that always gets cold feet.
So yeah, but ones aren't in a particularly good shape at that price.
But how good of shape was yours?
Nice.
Yes, but is
in my professional
is, nice
in my semi professional grading standards from the photos that I have seen. Of course, I don't have the book yet; it's still being express shipped over, and hopefully, it's sealed in 14. Pounds of mylar and cardboard, and the mailman doesn't fold it in half. It is right in between that $700 and that $900 copy I saw.
So you really think that this two now was it an it was an auction or
yeah it was online
now?
Yeah, it was an online.
Well, was it an auction or a buy it now though?
No, it was an auction.
So you could have got lucky on an auction that people just weren't paying attention to.
Yeah, exactly.
That happens not quite often enough, but enough to keep you excited.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But so you think that if you perhaps pressed and slabbed this thing, you could sell it for $700 to $900?
Well, we'll see.
I'll give you $7 for it.
Now, considering that my first copy of New Mutants I got for what is it, 95 cents, 75 cents?
No,
what's
I think
the cover price on that bad
I think
boy?
By that point the cover price was up to at least like $2 to $3, right? Cuz it's from the 90s. I don't know.
Click on a picture there. You're on Oogle.
I'm trying to find a picture
go.
There. Exactly. $1 US,
yeah,
which
so $1.25 Canadian.
So you owned a copy for $1.25?
Yes, I owned. I owned the entire New Mutants run.
And then what happened to that?
I'm not sure. Did I touch on that last radio show where I just had a little bit of a hate on for the Uncanny X-Men, and I got a little upset and sold off 10 long boxes of Marvel Comics to one of the local comic shops here?
No, you didn't touch on that at all on the radio show.
No, oh, okay. Well, that's what I did. Yeah, about what was that? About 2005. The direction of the X-Men was just ridiculous. I think we're talking about issue 300 and change-ish, maybe. Yeah, no, it wouldn't have gone all the way to 400. I think I dropped it before then. But it was just scattered. It was not very good storylines. I can't even recall who was writing it back then. And so I just decided, you know what, I'm going to clean up some of my collection. I got too much stuff. I'm a Johnny DC. I'm reading my DC books. So I sold, Uncanny X-Men, it would be about the Brood, the Silvestri Brood storyline. So what's
it's
that?
It's all, I haven't read any of that, so I have no idea.
Yeah, 196 maybe comes to mind. I can't remember too much, but in that block of comics that I got rid of, I know for sure it was New Mutants 98. We had First Jubilee, First Bishop, First Cable, keys galore as far as that era
now,
goes.
Weren't those comics worth something at that point, even if it was just not nearly the sort of inflated price they are now?
They were worth exactly $500 for the 10 long boxes, because that's what I got for them.
So $500 for 10 long boxes, that works out to be, I'm failing math. $50 a long box.
Yeah, $50 a long box.
Which and is, a long which box is, about, is a lot of comics.
Which well, it's about 250 comics with bags and boards. And that's pretty much the wholesale price you're going to get for a decent, unsorted, uncherry-picked long box of comics from that age if you were to take it to a local comic shop nowadays. It's about the $45 to $50 range. Anything that's been picked through like crazy, then
where you
five
know
cents,
there's nothing worth.
Yeah, it's yeah. 5 cents a book at best. But if the collection's you know concurrent, all the issues are there, and the keys haven't been pulled out, you know, I'm sure that one of the purveyors of comic books here in the Peterborough area will probably correct me if I'm wrong. But I think the going price is about $45 a long box.
Now, is there? I didn't know there was anybody in Peterborough that actually bought comic books.
I don't know. Do we want to go there?
If you don't want to go there,
do we want to talk about the condition of the local comic shops in Peterborough?
We won't, except to say that, you know, I've spent a lot of money thanks to Marvel's new number ones at the local comic stores in Peterborough.
Oh, my goodness. Did you see the sales charts from this year?
I have not.
They just released the top 10.
Let me just interrupt you for a second and say, after our last show with Marty, I realized that it's good to have opinions and facts. So I quickly typed off a message to Marty and went, Marty, those facts you had were amazing. We should have facts every week.
There you go.
So let's have some facts, Marty. No,
Chris has just messaged me here. It was a very good dinner. It was non-excuse, and I am listening. So we'll have to...
we'll have to edit out that part.
We'll not have to slam him too bad for you know.
But now Sam's completely
dropping off all of his responsibilities.
Incommunicado, so we can still make fun of him.
Yeah, there you go. We'll talk about Sam there. But yeah, what was it? The top 10. Three of the top 10 books, well, all of them were Marvel. Three of them were Star Wars books. And if I recall correctly, six out of the top 10 were number ones. So this idea of Marvel's of having, you know, two... Squirrel Girl number ones a year and two Howard the Ducks number ones a year is unfortunately paying off.
I was just going to say, isn't it unfortunate that bad marketing like works? Like one thing that comic book fans like you and I truly love is a long run of comics.
Well, what we like is, you know, some continuity. A perfect example is this new Green Lantern Lost Army comic that came out from DC. It's got Jon Stewart as the Green Lantern, and it's got a little bit of a storyline, and away it goes, blah, 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 and we're going to cancel it. Okay, fine. So the book didn't sell. They're canceling it. And then a few weeks later, we have a new Green Lantern comic book coming out called Green Lantern. Martin doesn't really care, and he's not going to buy it anyways.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, exactly. And it picks up exactly at the end of the storyline of Green Lantern Lost Army. So why? Like, why are you restarting it with a new number one but continuing the story? The only reason is to try to sucker people into buying a new number one. Like back in the day when you had Amazing Spider-Man or take Uncanny X-Men, Days of Futures Past. Days of Futures Past could have easily have been a prestige format miniseries. It could have been, you know, a standalone series on its own. Instead, it was like a little miniseries within the regular title.
Yeah.
People bought it. They loved it. It was great. Old Man Logan and Wolverine. Slightly bad example because the Wolverine title has been rebooted many, many times as well. But Old Man Logan could have been a standalone book, a standalone series.
An event.
But they kept it in the numbering of the series and, you know, it was a great series. It was a reason for people to pick up the book. I'm not one of those people who is allergic to picking up a comic book at issue 29 and buying it. In fact, if I do, I then go back and try to find issues 1 through 28. You know, if this was the case and nobody bought number ones, who was reading Spider-Man 200? Who was reading Spider-Man 300? Who was reading Spider-Man 400?
Nobody.
Well, they were, but...
Who is reading Spider-Man number one? Well, that's the real question.
Not me.
I wish I was.
Not me. I was Johnny DC. I was reading, you know, Kurt Swan Supermans and stuff like this. I wasn't reading Marvel back then.
So I used to be Johnny DC, back, like, when I was collecting, before I started actually collecting comic books, when I was just reading trades and hardcovers of the stories, I was almost exclusively DC, so much so that my Batman collection used to be bigger than my entire Marvel collection. But ever since I started actually buying the comic books, Marvel has managed to sucker me in, and I've bought more than a few new series from Marvel, even if I don't plan on sticking with them for the next 10 years. But, you know, like, I picked up Invincible Iron Man and Uncanny Avengers, and what else did I pick up? Spider-Gwen. There's a few weird ones, too, that I can't remember.
Well, see, I'm in the same boat as well. I mean, I have these famous pie charts that I'm a bit of a statistician, so I do these analyses of exactly how much I'm spending on comics and on what and on what titles, and I have these pie charts. So.
And then you hide those pie charts from your wife.
Yeah, exactly. We won't. Let's hope she doesn't listen to the radio. But, I didn't buy New Mutants 98. That was somebody else. I don't know what you're talking about. when the New 52 first started out, my little pie chart was 79% DC. And, you know, just a few stray titles here, a little Image title there. I was getting Amazing Spider-Man from Marvel. It was the only Marvel book. My pie chart for this month, for my orders for this month, was 56% Marvel. And DC was at 12%. Everything else was IDW, Boom, Image, Aftershock. I'm not sure if you've heard of the Aftershock guys.
No.
Basically, it's a new comic company that's coming out, and they've managed to attract some really fantastic creators to produce books. And they're very much following the sort of Image model of, you know, this is not just a superhero company. We're not just going to do superhero books. We're going to do some interesting books. And that's something I think DC has lost a little bit, too. They seem to be trying to get it back, but we'll see how that works. But when I was in DC, I was reading a lot of Vertigo books as well.
Yeah.
You know, Sandman and Hellblazer, and those are all gone. Now, granted, like I said, they're rebooting, so to speak, Vertigo. Got some new titles coming out. They look pretty good. I've got a stack of them, and I haven't read a single one yet. But we're going to get to that. My unread pile is insanely large. So we'll read those up and see if they're any good. But, I mean, really, you take a look at sales numbers. Like I said, we got that top 10 list here, and it's all number one Marvels. I mean, we've got Invincible Iron Man number one was number one.
I bought that one.
As did I. Amazing Spider-Man number one was number two.
I bought that one.
I did as well. Spider-Gwen number one was number three.
I bought that one.
I did as well. Secret Wars number six, which...
I don't know if I bought that
one. Let's not even get into how late this series is and the delays. And it's just so disappointing.
Let me interrupt to say that Invincible Iron Man and Amazing Spider-Man are both on their third issue right now after they were sort of rebooted at the end of Secret Wars, which hasn't finished yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Secret Wars is two issues away from being finished, and these comics that were supposed to start afterward are now three issues in.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, people are playing guessing games with, you know, why is the Fantastic Four in a statue immortalized in the Peter Parker newly renovated Baxter Building? You know, what happened to them? Where's that story going on?
Is there a possibility that it wasn't, like, quote-unquote delayed, but they did a delay on purpose to create this sort of weird time shift thing so that people are like, I have to read these comics because I don't know what happens at the end of Secret Wars?
No, I don't think so. See, that's one of the problems with these event books, is you've got one title that is setting up what's going to happen in the entire lineup, and if that one title with the big name creators and stuff is being delayed, or art's not getting done on time, or somebody's having a baby, or someone had a late dinner and couldn't make it, it delays everything else. And you can't hold up the production and the publication of all the other titles just because one book is late. Like, if Marvel was to say, well, you know, these 14 new number ones that were going to come out in October, we're holding them back till December, and we're not going to print anything until Secret Wars is finished. Or, heaven forbid, like they did in the old days, we're going to publish some reprints.
Yeah.
You know, so the
and then the next
happen.
News story would be Marvel going out of business.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just people want comics. They want comics. They want to read comics. And if Marvel doesn't produce the comics, then I'm going to go to IDW. I'm going to go to Boom. I'm going to go to Image. I'm going to go to Aftershock. I'm going to get my comic fix because I need my comics every week. I need my comics every week.
You didn't actually even say DC in that list.
I'm telling you, like, DC had this whole DC new thing that they decided to do, and internally it was called the Batgirlification of the line, and what they did was, you know, the Batgirl title took a little bit of a left turn and took some chances and was very successful. They decided, you know what, let's take that exact model that is working for Batgirl right across the line, whether the books are working or not. Let's just apply it to everybody. So now Superman is a crew cut, black t-shirt and jeans again. Commissioner Gordon is Batman, but he's not really Batman. He's Appleseed in a mech suit, which I'm surprised Appleseed isn't suing over because the mech suit even has the bunny ears. You know, and it's just Bruce Wayne's got amnesia. We've got 14 different Robins running around. Yeah, well, look, nobody's reading the DC book, so it's not a spoiler. Trust me.
Where's that cricket sound effect?
Yeah, exactly. Chirp, chirp, chirp. You know, and it's just, it didn't work. We got Martian Manhunter book. Excellent idea, concept, and it's unreadable. I don't know what's going on. Like, if you're flipping through the pages and you have to go back and reread the other page, you're either really old and you need to eat more fish to you know, get those omega acids for your brain, or the writing is garbage. The writing is subpar. And I was reading a couple of books where I'm flipping through the page. I'm reading page one. I'm reading page two. I'm reading page three. And I'm like, oh, there must be a page stuck together. And I'm looking. No, there's no page stuck together. How can the ending panel of the one page with the character of Dick Grayson... and then you flip the page, and the very top panel, it's almost as if 26 hours of real time has passed between those two panels with no explanation, no segue, no, you know what I mean? It was unreadable.
Now, I think you did mention that there was one comic book that you liked from DC, which was Titans Hunt.
Yes, Titans Hunt was pretty good, but a lot of that is nostalgia. A lot of that is a big fan of the Marv Wolfman and George Perez New Teen Titans run back in the 80s, a top-selling book for DC at the time. It was really fantastically drawn, fantastic stories. And that is, for many DC fans, the Teen Titans. So when the DC New 52 came out and they just botched, we can get into that in a second, but... their version of the New Teen Titans was just... even people that previously liked that new team didn't like the new book because it just didn't make sense. There was just too many continuity holes. It just didn't make sense. Like, for those of you that don't remember the New 52, and what they did is they basically kind of rebooted the entire universe. They said Batman had been Batman for 5 years, and instead of saying, okay, and this is his current Robin, Dick Grayson, they said, oh no, here's all the Robins that ever existed in the 50-year history of Batman, and they all happened within that 5-year time frame that Batman was Batman. It didn't make any sense. It just didn't make any sense. Like, how did Dick Grayson the teenager become Nightwing the young adult and come back and become Batman when Batman broke his back and then become Nightwing again, all within a 5-year period of time? You know, and all of a sudden, that new Teen Titans team that had Tim Drake, the third Robin, it had, what was his name, Connor Kent was the Superboy, all that stuff. Those characters didn't make sense anymore. It was like, how do these people exist? It doesn't work. So when Titans Hunt came out, everybody who's a little bit more nostalgic, Sam will go on and on and on about some of the characters that he likes next week. And it was a really good read. It was a very good book. So we'll see if it pans out. I'm also reading Batman and Robin Eternal, which is the weekly book. And much like the old Batman Eternal, the overall series, the overall story seems pretty good, pretty solid. But there are a few weak issues, a few subpar issues here and there. from a weekly book. And I
which
think
you'd sort of expect.
Which you sort of expect.
Something that puts 52 issues out in a year.
Exactly. And the last issue that I read of Batman and Robin Eternal was a little bit, again, squishy and mushy and incoherent. And so, you know, overall, it seems to be a decent book. You know, so it's going well.
Let's fix DC's problem here. Marty, why can DC not do this right?
Well, I'll tell you what DC needs to do is exactly what DC said they need to do. Meat and potatoes. Bruce Wayne is Batman. He runs around and he fights psychotic bad guys like Joker.
But on the other hand, Marvel has done the exact opposite. Steve Rogers isn't Captain America, or is he? And, you know, they've got Peter Parker is an industrial billionaire like Tony Stark.
Oh, do you want to get into the Amazing Spider-Man?
We can get into that later a few minutes, but because Marvel has done the exact opposite. They've done what DC was hoping to do, which is shake things up and have the masses go wild for it.
Right, but if you take a look at the books that are really successful at Marvel at the moment, the ones that are in the top 10, three of the top 10 are Star Wars books. So, you know, right there, 30% of the lineup is a totally different property.
Yeah.
You know, that is popular. Amazing Spider-Man is always a pretty decent seller. And yeah, they do weird things with the book every once in a while. And they're doing a weird thing with the book now. But the other thing you need to know is that back in the day, people who enjoyed Marvel were referred to as Marvel zombies. And they were referred to as Marvel zombies for a reason. Marvel could do no wrong. Marvel's the greatest. Marvel's everything. So the average typical Marvel fan has a heck of a lot more patience. The average DC fan is like, this is not our DC. These are not our characters that we knew and loved. You've changed them to the point where they're unrecognizable. You basically have, I used to call it the wild storming of DC. Jim Lee has kind of, you know, taken the reins and said, you know, everybody's got to have these Mandarin collars and we're gonna image the books to death like a 1990s image and, you know, no more pants on Superman and all this ridiculous stuff. Meanwhile, you know, all the merchandising still has Superman in his traditional 1970s costume. So that is we've gotten to the point where it's like, these are not the characters we recognize. These are not the characters we like. Hey, there's some really interesting books being published over there. So all of a sudden, we're reading books from, again, IDW, Boom, Image. We're picking up some Marvel comics. And it's one of those things where DC either needs to turn around and buy the LucasArts back from Disney, or perhaps buy the Battlestar Galactica property. And
maybe we could start a property for them to buy.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, editorial has said that DC editorial has said that this Batman, Batgirlification of the lineup is not working. Market share is dropping like crazy. So let's get back to meat and potatoes and let's get Superman in the blue suit. Let's get Batman in the Batman, Bruce Wayne in the Batman suit. Let's get things a little less muddied and let's get back to, you know, some interesting stories that make sense and have the characters that we know and love.
Now, so the list of the top 10s you were reading out, that was like the top 10 of that month?
Yeah, this is the top 10 sales for October, and I think we managed to get through
like the first four or five.
The first five. And I think number five, if I'm not mistaken, was Star Wars. Yeah, see, now the great Google has failed me, and it has jumped all over the place, and I don't have that.
That's what happens when I distract you for 35 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. But, it was Star Wars was in the lineup. I think issue 11 was the...
And it's pretty incredible that Star Wars is still a top 10 seller at issue 11.
Well, contrary to popular belief from some people in town, I still think that the Star Wars comic itself is a decent read. It's got nice art. It's a decent story. And I'm reading it, and I'm having a great time with it.
I haven't read an issue yet.
Yeah. Chewbacca number one was in the list, which is kind of surprising because the one title that didn't do particularly well for Marvel as far as Star Wars books goes was the Princess Leia book.
Yeah.
So that didn't, because
the Darth Vader one did good because they introduced some new droids and stuff.
Yeah,
and
Vader's
built hype
doing
up,
fine.
Right?
Vader's doing so fine, in fact, that they're going to do a little mini series within a series event book and a crossover and the first issue of that Darth Vader title is looking like it will be the number one book selling that month, you know. But again, it's going to be supported by, you know, 30 or 40 variant covers and,
yeah,
and all that ridiculousness.
Which also helps drive the numbers up, right?
Which drives the numbers up. But
so, like, Batman can't crack the top 10.
Batman did not crack the top 10.
Harley Quinn, even.
Now, Batman has been in the top 10, you know, over the year, over the course of the calendar year. It's been in the top 10 on a regular basis. So it is a title that people are interested in. But I just don't think people are interested in reading a freshly shaven Commissioner Gordon in a robot suit as Batman.
But if he had his mustache, they would be.
Again, you know, it's just not the character that we're used to. Now, speaking of characters we're not used to, you know, Iron Man number one and Amazing Spider-Man number one are both in the top 10, one and two respectively. And did you read the Amazing Spider-Man number one?
I did.
What is going on there? Like, why is all of a sudden Peter Parker Tony Stark? Why is he...
Now, here's my confession that I already confided in you, but this is actually the first Spider-Man comic I've read since the early 90s. So, to me, I just read it and I was like, okay, so that's what Peter Parker is now. Like, whereas you have a long history with Peter Parker and Spider-Man, so it really upsets you that they've completely changed everything about this character.
What do they say in comedy? If you have to explain the joke, then you've lost the point of the joke? Well... They on the cover of what is it, Squirrel Girl number one or yeah. Howard the Duck number one, they're saying
Squirrel Girl.
Oh, look, it's our second number one of the year. Ha 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 ha, look, ha ha. So they're making a joke of the fact that they're, you know, being dumb and doing this marketing thing. Same thing happened in The Amazing Spider-Man. All of a sudden there's jokes in the book saying, hey, Peter, you're a lot like Tony Stark. Like,
yeah.
They went so far as, you know, Spider-Man is now Peter Parker's bodyguard, which is a 1970s storyline where Iron Man was Tony
was like
Stark's
one of the
bodyguard.
First Iron Man yeah. storylines.
What's that fellow's name? Is it Prowler?
I think you're right, yes.
Right? The Prowler's his sidekick. That
dresses up as him
once in a while. And coincidentally, he happens to be a black man. Whereas in Iron Man, his buddy Rhodes is a
war machine
and throws on the Iron Man armor and is his buddy and happens to be a black guy. Like, they even copied the race of the sidekick. You know, that's how far they've gone. And the Spider-Mobile. And now he's got a secret lair with a spider cycle and a spider... Like this,
no, I didn't get to the secret lair part.
This is Spider-Man. This is, you know, spins
teenager
a web.
Peter Parker.
Just like flies. He's broke, and J. Jonah Jameson's on his butt all the time about not making pictures, and he's drinking spoiled milk in his fridge, and Aunt May needs a new hip. And that's Spider-Man, not this weird
like
thing
industrial
that's going
playboy.
On. Industrial, exactly. And yeah. I guess... You know, I read Superior Spider-Man, which was a big departure from the book, from the, you know, traditional ideas of Spider-Man. I loved it. When Spider-Man came back and he was dealing with the ramifications of that, it was still a pretty decent book. But this is just too much of rehashed Iron Man plot concepts and ideas. Like, who knows? Maybe they're driving at something here. It's only been three issues. Give it a chance.
Sorry, I know it's a cardinal rule not to interrupt somebody mid-rant.
No, it's good.
But you said it's only been three issues, but three issues is more than a lot of people would give a comic if they don't like it.
Well, the only reason why I'm giving it more than three issues and haven't dropped it already is simply because I did enjoy Dan Slott as the writer, and he did, you know, the past a couple of batches of Iron Man.
You can't even get Iron Man.
I can't even say Spider-Man. I say Iron Man right away. The last batch of Iron Man titles, like the original Amazing Spider-Man there, and then when it switched to Superior, and then when it switched back to Amazing. Those were all Dan Slott books. So he's a pretty decent writer, and he's getting to something. This is going to be a coherent story. This is going to go somewhere. This is going to advance the character somehow. It's going to, you know, there's going to be results. Or he's lost his touch, and this is going to be a garbage book, and nobody's going to read it.
I mean, it's possible. It's possible he hasn't lost his touch, and this is just a completely editorial thing being thrust on him.
Oh, you know? Totally possible. Now, again, I'm a Johnny DC guy. I know Spider-Man. He's probably my most well-known Marvel character outside of the X-Men. I've read him sporadically throughout the years since the 70s. And so I'd be really interested to get the take of a traditional Spider-Man fan. Like, what do they think? Are they seeing this as, oh, this is just another phase, or, you know, Mephisto's going to come by and he's going to erase it all and it's going to be a brand new day.
Hilarious that you bring up the, like, most controversial Spider-Man storyline in history.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, we're not going to reboot anything, but we'll find some magic hocus-pocus way of erasing everything that happened, you know. Shades of Dallas. Oh, it was just all a dream. Here he is in the shower. So we'll see what happens. But to be honest with you, me, myself, I'm more excited about the Spidey book that's coming out. It's a title called Spidey, new number one, of course.
New number one?
Yeah, try to imagine. And it's supposed to be in continuity Spider-Man as a younger person. Now, I didn't grasp too much whether we're talking high school, we're talking just out of college, or where he fits in that that previous things. But, you know, he's living with Aunt May. He's trying to date Mary Jane. He's, you know, trying to get a job at the Daily Bugle. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, hopefully he's not the webmaster, you know, and the social media expert at the at the website, or, you know.
So this guy is basically the Spider-Man that you want.
This is the Spider-Man that I think
Spider-fans
are looking for.
It's almost like they knew everybody was going to be unhappy with the high-tech Iron Man version of Spider-Man they put out. So, like, hey, let's just put something out to shut those guys up.
Well, you see,
and maybe they'll buy all the Spider-Man books still. Hey, more money.
Well, you see, DC's done this in the past as well. Like, when the Golden Age, the Silver Age, you're familiar with the Golden Age, Silver Age, and basically the heroes from the 50s, you know, the original Green Lantern, Alan Scott, the original Flash, and stuff like this. When they introduced the new stuff and people were getting excited about the new stuff, I'm saying new, this is the 70s.
Yeah, 60s.
So, you know, there was still that contingency that said, yeah, but that's not my Green Lantern, that's not my Flash. So they came out with the Justice Society of America, and they gave people those traditional stories. New 52 came out, we're like, you know, oh, these aren't really, can we get our traditional characters in a book? And they kind of botched it with that whole Earth 2, and yeah, that's just an unreadable mess. But it was really popular for a bit, but just unreadable mess. I'm sorry, what did Sam say? It was absolute garbage. But
it was the biggest pile of dung.
That's it. It was the biggest pile of dung. But sorry, I got dung on the brain now. I can't remember where we were. But, we got flashing strobe lights in the studio. I think I'm going to have an epileptic seizure here in a second. What is that?
That's the phone ringing.
Oh, the phone. Anyways. So I think that what that Spidey title is Marvel being smart and saying, okay, we're taking the main Spider-Man comic book into new territory. We're going to push some new stories. We're going to take the character in some new places. But, hey, you traditionalists, look. Here, over here, look what we got here. We got Spider-Man living with Mary Jane, you know, like
trying to date Mary Jane
and living with Aunt May. And, you know, look, over here. Don't worry what's going on over here. Over here. And they're smart. They're going to, like, they've got my money. I'm buying both titles,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the expense of a DC title, you know, so I'm going to be picking it up.
So once again, DC loses out.
Oh, exactly. DC's losing a sale to the fact that I'm going to be picking up two Spider-Man titles.
And the thing that really bugs me, though, is that, like, DC is losing out because of these Marvel number ones, like, which we said shouldn't work, but people just buy into them.
Well, I guess the other question is that, you know, it was an unusual month because there was a bunch of number ones. The collectors come out, they buy the number ones. The tire kickers like myself come out. Like, I bought every single number one Vertigo book that came out. I'm going to read them. I'm going to see what they're like. Oh, sorry, I did read one. It was...
I've read that one.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't like it. So I'm not getting number two. I'm not getting number three. I'm not getting number four. So those numbers are going to drop right after number one.
Yes.
So I think that was a little bit of an aberration in the fact that, you know...
A blip.
A blip.
gosh only knows how many variant covers of Amazing Spider-Man number one are put in there. Variant covers of Invincible
Howard the
Spider-Man.
Duck number one.
Like, I bought three copies of Invincible Invincible Iron Man because of the variant covers. Like, the one variant cover that was an homage to the original Iron Man number one was just beautiful.
Was that from Bruce Timm? Like, I feel like that's what I read, but I could be wrong. Remember.
I know Bruce Timm did that Gwenpool cover for Howard
that
the Duck,
a lot of people
one.
Didn't like.
No, that was Ron Lim.
The one that you had.
Yeah, that was
Ron
Lim.
He did a Gwenpool one as well that people said was awful.
There you go. But so I think it's a bit of an aberration. It'd probably be better to take a look at, you know, what are the sales going to be of Amazing Spider-Man number 4. And
well, you'd think that by 2 and 3, it would have settled down a little bit.
Oh, exactly. Like, you know, I'm a big Captain Canuck fanatic, right? And,
I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. Captain Canuck. Greatest thing ever. I happen to have some Captain Canuck numbers here. And, for example, Captain Canuck number 1 came out 6,304 copies. That was higher than Princess Leia number 2, higher than G.I. Joe Snake Eyes number 5. Number 2 dropped to 3,000 copies. So it lost 50% readership.
Yeah.
But
that's
number 3
because
went,
you didn't buy 7 copies.
Yeah, exactly. But then number 3 came out, and number 3 went back up to 4,600 copies. So there's an example of, you know, hey, number 1 came out, we got all these variants, and oh, all this excitement, and a new Captain Canuck number 1. Number 2, the tire kickers, the people that were just, you know, the people that only want number 1s,
the
dropped
people that,
off.
Yeah, just want the one that looks collectible.
But then, you know, people were saying, actually, did you read number 2? Because number 2 was just as good as number 1. So all of a sudden, the number 3 picks up. So that's a title that, you know, it's a smaller press. It's not as popular as Spider-Man or anything like that. So we're only talking 6,000 copies, 3,000 copies. We're not talking 100,000 copies. But the numbers are going up. So what are the numbers going to look like on all these restarted titles? And typical of Marvel, if the numbers start dropping, what are they going to do?
Reboot it
with a whole bunch of new number ones? Like, the next week, like that was October, we had the Iron Man, the Spider-Man, and all this stuff. Now we got, what do we got? We got Extraordinary X-Men number 1. We've got Uncanny Avengers number 1. We got the all-new X-Men number 1. I think that one's been solicited, hasn't it?
I'm not sure.
Anyways, so we got a whole nother rash of number 1s. Daredevil number 1's coming out. So the is Amazing Spider-Man, Invincible Iron Man, Guardians of the Galaxy are number 2, you know, issue 2, 3, and 4, are they going to be in the top 10, or is the top 10
just
next month
going to
be the new number 1s
and
all their crazy variants?
Well, we'll find out next month, won't we?
Yeah, definitely. We'll definitely find out.
Because you're the fact man.
Well, you know, and again, I'll be checking out quite a few. Like, I bought Hercules number 1 from Marvel. Just thought it would be an interesting book. It was okay. It was all right. You know, when you're getting 60 titles a month, you kind of say to yourself, some of these have to go. I mean, we can't just constantly be reading the wrong books. So there's going to be some trimming of the fat in my pull list very shortly. So that might be one of the books that goes. You read Extraordinary X-Men number 1. Did you like that?
No, I didn't read that one.
Oh, you did?
I got Uncanny X-Men 600.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I've got the...
And I had such a pile in my hands at that point that I put the other X-Men one back, and I just said, you know what? It's still going to be here when I come back because they had lots of copies.
There's going to be lots of copies, yeah. You're not gonna run low, but it's a good book so far. I liked it. It seemed to be pretty good. One that I think I've seen some previews for that might be really interesting that's a little bit off everybody's radar is the Ultimates number 1.
Yeah.
That looks like it might be pretty interesting. It's got a really decent artist. Name escapes me at the moment. But what do we got there? Black Panther's in on the team. Some newer characters. And
so just, is this like... Are the Ultimates within the regular continuity? Or
well,
is this
you
off?
See, if we had gotten the end of Super Wars...
we would know, right?
We would know exactly what's going on. But yeah, my understanding
is by our 15th show, we'll have the end of Secret Wars, and we can actually discuss the place that these comics belong...
There you go.
...within the greater Marvel Cinematic Universe.
There you
go. Cinematic Universe, because that's what it's all about.
So yeah, to sum up, DC, get Batman back in the Batsuit, get Superman back in the Superman suit, and stop being silly.
Get Green Lantern back in the green suit.
Yes, get Green Lantern out of the Han Solo outfit and back as a Green Lantern, and let's get it done.
And Marty has spoken. That's his version of a mic drop. All right, well, that's about all the time that we've got for this rant-filled episode of Hey Kids Comics. Now, next week is going to be epic because Chris is going to be away again, and we're going to have Sam the Rant Man and Marty Rants-A-Lot together in one room.
It will be an epic rant-off.
You just broke the radio.
There you go.
So I don't know what's going to happen. So make sure you tune in for that show, and because, I mean, this could be bigger than Secret Wars as far as, like, catastrophic damage to reality.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time I put Sam in a headlock, so we'll see how it goes.
If you want to hear a headlock live on the radio, make sure you tune in next week. So, yeah, that's it for us. See you next week.
Bye-bye now.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?